Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
Does your belief impact or affect your behavior? You know, the world is in desperate need for authentic Christians. Christians whose belief flows from the Word of God into their lifestyle. Next, on Daily in the Word, we rediscover authentic Christianity with Dr. Paul Chappell. The Christian life and the ways of Jesus Christ, the faith of God's Word, is dramatically, horribly misrepresented in today's culture. The secular world doesn't really get it. What they need to see is authentic Christianity lived out before them through your life and through mine. Welcome to Daily in the Word, the daily radio ministry and the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. It's a joy to minister to you every Monday through Friday via this program. And presently, we're studying what it means to be an authentic Christian. What does the authentic Christian life really look like? I hope you'll enjoy every step of this series. Before we join today's message, don't forget to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to recent programs and also how to subscribe to the daily devotional and the daily podcast of Daily in the Word. And I hope you'll send a friend a link to listen to Dr. Chappell by way of this program. Today's text is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28, the expectation of an authentic Christian. Here's Paul Chappell.
Luke chapter 21 is the record of our Lord's Olivet Discourse, which was given in the last week of His ministry here on this earth. It is in this chapter that Jesus gives us a summary of the end times with a special application on His second coming. Jesus Christ is speaking throughout this chapter about the last days and about the fact that He would come back to this earth. Now, when you open the Bible and study specifically the subject of the second coming of Jesus Christ, you will find 318 specific references to the fact that Jesus will establish His kingdom. He will return literally and physically to this earth. And the imminent hope of the Christian today is the catching away of the church or the bride of Christ from this earth before the great time of tribulation. After the great tribulation upon this earth, Jesus will return to the earth for the establishment of His kingdom. When we discuss the issue of the Lord's return, we need to keep in mind that there is a differentiation between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The rapture is the time when Christ comes for the church. Like a magnet would pull metal to itself, when Jesus comes, all who have His Spirit in them will be drawn up to Him. That's the catching away of the bride of Christ, or the rapture of the church. This is when Christ comes for the church. The second coming of Christ is when Christ returns to the earth with the church. So the rapture is when He catches up the church, and the second coming is when He comes with the church. Now, Luke 21 is referencing the second coming primarily. It is speaking about that time when Jesus will come again to this earth to establish His kingdom in glory. But I believe in verse number 28, there is a word that would indicate to us that there are those indications in the Scripture that while this passage is speaking about the second coming, there is also application to the days in which we live prior to the rapture of the church. Let me show you what I mean. In verse 28, the Bible says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Would you notice the word in verse 28, begin? When these things begin to come to pass. In other words, some events leading towards the second coming of Christ to establish His kingdom will begin to take place even before the rapture of the church. There will be many things happening in the world prior to the catching away of the church that are leading towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up. When these things mentioned in these chapters of the Bible start happening, get ready. Something exciting is going to happen. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now let me illustrate the relationship between the rapture and the second coming like this. A few years ago, my wife and I were out at a shopping center about in the month of September. And as we were in the shopping center, I noticed Christmas trees and Christmas ornaments and all kinds of decorations. And as we looked at that, Terry said to me, she said, "Now, honey, you know what all of this means, don't you?" And I thought, well, man, I know I might look dumb sometimes, but honey, it means Christmas is coming. She said, "No, that's not what it means." She said, "This means Thanksgiving is coming." I said, "Oh, okay." And I thought about it, and really that's about the way it is. They start advertising Christmas before Thanksgiving takes place anymore. What God says is there are going to be some signs on this earth telling us about the second coming even before the rapture has taken place. The world is going to be preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now this morning the message is simply entitled, "The Expectation of the Authentic Christian." What is it that someone today who knows the Lord is looking for? What is it that we are expecting to happen? What is it that an authentic Christian is hoping to happen? Notice first of all this morning as we study the expectancy of or our hope in Christ, notice first of all the basis of our expectancy. The basis of our expectancy. We are expecting Jesus to come again. The second coming is at hand. We are expecting to see the Lord as a church. But let's notice the basis of our expectancy. First of all, we base our expectancy on the pronouncement of the Scriptures. We base our expectancy on the pronouncement of the Scriptures. Why do Christians believe that there will be a catching away of the believers? Why do we believe Jesus is coming again? Because the Scriptures pronounce this to be true. Notice the pronouncement of Scriptures, first of all, tell us that He, Jesus, will come personally. The Bible tells us that He will come personally. In your Scripture notes this morning, Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said it this way, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus Christ says, "I will come again." And then the angel speaking to the disciples as Jesus ascended up into heaven in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 said to those disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." So the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will come personally. That's the hope of the Christian today. But then we also believe that all Christians will meet Jesus in the air. Every blood-bought child of God, everyone that has put their faith in Christ, the Bible says will meet Him in the air. Now the great passage that speaks about this catching away of the Christians is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, did you catch that phrase that says, shall be caught up together in the clouds? Never in the Bible do we find the word rapture, nor do we find the word Trinity for that matter. There are some words that we use to describe a Bible truth. The Greek word harpazo means to catch up or to catch away. And so God says there is coming a day when all of his believers will be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, the old timers used to sing the song, there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet by and by. That's what they were singing about. They were singing about meeting the Lord someday in the air. Now, back in 1995, U.S. News and World Report did a survey along these lines. And as they took this poll, they asked Americans what they believed about things like what we're talking about today. 59% of the Americans polled said that they believe the world will come to an end someday. 60% said they believe that there will somehow be a final judgment someday. 61% said they believed that Jesus Christ would come back to the earth someday. And 44% of all Americans said that they believe in a catching away of the church. They literally believed in that concept. Now, I don't know how the poll would go today, but let me tell you something, friend. If only 5% of Americans believed in the catching away of the church, it would still be right because of the Word of God. God's Word pronounces this to be a fact, and so we believe the Bible to be the inerrant, infallible, final authority for our lives, for our church, for our faith in God. We're not the authority. Tradition is not the authority. The Bible's the authority. And if Jesus says, I will come again, as a Christian who believes Jesus Christ to be the truth, that's good enough for me. Jesus says he's coming again. The basis of our expectancy is the pronouncement of the Scriptures. But let's dig a little deeper. Not only the pronouncement of the Scriptures, but let's notice, secondly, the prophecies of the Scriptures. The prophecies of the Scriptures. Now, we recognize the limitation of our time this morning, and so I want to just take four or five Bible prophecies and just briefly mention them to you, because the Bible says when you begin to see these things coming to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And so it is worthy of our time that we would just consider a few of the prophecies that form the basis for our expectation. Let me say, number one, there will be in the last days, according to the Bible, an appearance of world peace. An appearance of world peace. Now, in our notes this morning, I believe the scripture says 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Actually, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 3, and this is what it says. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Now, we know that will be the theme leading into the Great Tribulation, peace. And there will be the claiming of the one world leader who will bring peace. But again, we see these things beginning to come to pass now. We see the emphasis in the world today is being placed on global peace. Peace and safety is the cry of the world today. Now, if you'll think about it, that's been the cry for the last 10 or 20 years, just resoundingly from the media. And you know, sometimes life goes by so fast. I mean, life just kind of squeezes on by. We're commuting and taking kids to ball games and running here and there. And sometimes we don't really stop to recognize the significance of the day in which we live. But think about it. Some of you might recall back in the late 80s and early 90s, Gorby fever. What a tremendous thought that a Russian leader, a communist leader, would come to America and be so popular. And some of you remember some of the things he said. In 1990, Mr. Gorbachev at the Westminster College was calling for placing the armed forces of the world under United Nations command. I remember clipping that article out and thinking, wow, that's a far-out concept. For the first time in American history, we sent GIs to Indonesia and they were placed under the command of an Australian general. For the first time in the history of our country, our soldiers were under a United Nations command. In that same speech, Gorbachev called for an expanded role in the United Nations. We're hearing a lot about that from various different places in the world today. Some of you might remember in your mind a picture of Bill Clinton, 1993. Yitzhak Rabin on one side, Yasser Arafat on the other side, shaking hands, and the theme, of course, Middle East peace, worldwide peace. And that is what the world is clamoring for today. Patriotism is being played down. Nationalism is being played down. Globalism is being lifted up. Worldwide peace, that's what the politicians want to bring. And the Bible says, when they start talking about peace, when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. The Bible prophesies that there will be a clamoring for peace in the last day. Let's notice a second prophecy. That would be the prophecy of what some Bible scholars call a revived Roman Empire. A revived Roman Empire. Now stay with me here and just jot some of these things down, maybe food for thought. But the Bible says in Revelation 17:12, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Revelation 17:13, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." And then Daniel 7:24 as a corollary passage. "And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the three kings." Now these prophecies speak of what is called a revival of the European power, a revival of the Roman Empire, or what was called the Roman Empire, in the first century. Most Bible scholars believe that Revelation 17 and Daniel 7 are speaking about some kind of a coming together of European powers in the last day, forming a confederation of nations from which a platform will be developed for a leader to come, one world leader, in the future of this world. Now again, in 1957, there was the establishment of the European Common Market. In the 1980s, all of us were amazed to see the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the crumbling of many communist powers. December 1st, 1989, Mr. Gorbachev in Rome, for the first time, a Russian communist leader meeting with the Pope said, and I quote, "I envision a commonwealth of European states coming into place very soon." And then January 1st, 1999, there came the installation of what is called the Euro dollar. Now we see that this commonwealth, this European United States, have come together with one currency. Now, we don't claim to have all of the answers. We don't know exactly what the Lord will do in bringing this to pass. But we're saying that the prophecies of a united kingdom in Europe coming together in the last days are beginning to unfold before us today. A third prophecy that most of you have heard about is the prophecy of a common world currency. A common world currency. And Revelation 13:16 speaks of it. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." How many of you have heard about that at least before? Let me see how we're doing. All right? And so you've heard about that. Now, this particular issue has not come to pass as of yet, but just think about it. 50 years ago when preachers would preach about this, no one could comprehend how that could even happen. But with today's technology, no one doubts that if that was to be mandated, that it could be accomplished with the computer technology of the day. We're beginning to see the potentiality for the fulfillment of these things in our own day in which we live. There's a fourth prophecy that I think speaks of the day in which we live. And that's the prophecy of false teachers and catastrophic events. False teachers and catastrophic events. Matthew 24, 5 through 7, you can read it on your own. It speaks about some of the catastrophic events in the last days. It speaks about the false teachers of the last days. Many antichrists, many people are rising up, claiming to be Messiah, claiming to be Christ. We hear about it from time to time in the news. We hear about the rising of the cults and the false teachers. When these things begin to happen, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh. There's a fifth prophecy that the Bible would speak of, and we're just covering four or five. We could cover many, many more. But a fifth prophecy is the acceptance of an evil lifestyle in the last days. The Bible says there will be the acceptance of an evil lifestyle. In fact, it says it this way in Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, we don't have time to study the days of Noah, but just remember the verse that says, every imagination in their mind was only evil continuously. Pretty bad stuff. God brought a flood to this world because every thought that was pervasively on the minds of men in Noah's day was a wicked thought. And the Bible says in the last days it's going to be like Noah's day, a perilous time, 2 Timothy 3 says. Wickedness will abound. Now, folks, the tragedy of the hour is not that there is wickedness in society. There has always been wickedness. There have always been heinous crimes and sins and wickedness in society. That it is being accepted, it is being promoted as normal in America today. And anyone who dare speaks against wickedness and sin is a bigot and should shut their mouth and stay in the corner somewhere. But I want to tell you something, friend. When we read about and when we see homosexuality being promoted and bestiality and body piercing and witchcraft and Wicca being defended and promoted in this country, it is a sign, my friends, that we're living in the last days. Not merely that it exists, but that it's being promoted in the hour in which we live. And we need to recognize when we see these things that all of these are indicators of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Now, one lady said to me the other day, she said, well, Pastor, it's not all that bad. She said, it really is easy to get Junior out of bed now that he has that nose ring. Well, that might be one good part of it. I don't know. What I'm saying is when I was in high school, if a guy showed up with an earring or a nose ring, he was going out back of the gym for a visit with some guys after school. That wasn't that long ago. I'm a pretty young fella. You don't have to laugh when I say that either. I mean, yes, there was a deviance years ago, but deviance is becoming normal, it's becoming accepted, it's being promoted in the country in which we live. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Moms and dads, we need to wake up. The church isn't your enemy. The preacher's not your enemy. The world system is the enemy of your child today. And when we see these kids being pulled into this lifestyle, we need to wake up to the fact that we're living in the last days today. Now, the basis of our expectancy. Why do Christians think that Jesus is coming again? Two basic things given this morning. One, the Bible says so. Jesus said, I will come again. That's number one. And number two, the prophecies indicate when these things begin, lift up your heads because your redemption draweth nigh. So we see the basis of our expectancy. But let's notice, secondly, the attitude of our expectancy. The attitude of our expectancy. Now, what should our attitude be as Christians as we wait for the Lord to come again? What is the proper attitude in this hour for Christians? Now, Christians, a lot of times we get interested in prophecy. And we'll say amen that, you know, that people shouldn't pierce their bodies and all that kind of stuff. But now, wait a minute. When we think about prophecy, if it does not change our lives, then it's really to no effect.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Friend, if you have questions about how to trust Christ as your Savior, how to begin that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you hear about so often on this program, we would love to visit with you about it. We'd love to talk with you about it and help you understand what it means to truly become an authentic Christian. A Christian who truly believes in Christ as the only Savior. I want to encourage you to write to us or email us or give us a call. I'll give you the contact information in just a moment, and we would love to visit with you about how to trust Christ as your personal Savior. We are very excited about some new resources that are being made available through our publications ministry. You can find links to these resources and more information when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chapel's most recent book. It's entitled In Desert Places, What Happens When Unlikely People in Unlikely Places Encounter the Presence of God. Friend, if you're in a desert place in your life, if you're in a place where you're wondering what God is really doing, if the canvas of your future is sort of blank and you're looking for the hand of God, this book will greatly encourage you. In Desert Places, it's available when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Also on the website, you'll find links to the podcast, the daily broadcast, and recent broadcasts. You'll also find a link to a daily devotional, a free email subscription to that, and much more information about our ministry. Again, it's all found at dailyintheword.org. We would love to hear from you by phone as well. You can call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, if you'd like to write to us, our address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, the best way to find out more about our program or about the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel is to visit dailyintheword.org. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.